This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
Free Talk Live. We're here on this live Sunday edition. We'll take your calls and your thoughts about what you want. Our number is 855-450-FREE like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. Tonight, it's Ian,
Richard Rich,
and Mark.
Mark, you were sharing with us a story from the Foundation for Economic Education, fee.org.
Yep.
They're talking about the just stunning lifting out of extreme poverty that has happened in just the last 25 years,
right.
A significant portion of the world's population that had been considered extremely poor is no longer in that category. And, of course, as this happens, other people are lifted out of their, you know, areas of wealth. Everybody's getting wealthier as the world creates more wealth. Guess what? Because wealth is more than just money. Wealth is, basically, and it's hard to really kind of give it an easy definition, but there's more to than just money. It's also the things that you have, the abilities that you have, the ability that you might have to take some time off from work without having to work. That shows some level of wealth. The fact that you might have air conditioning and heating and ice, you know, some of the things that we take for granted in a lot of the Western world is an incredibly wealthy thing to be able to have access to.
And on an individual basis as well, because everyone has a different value system on
sure.
what they think brings themselves wealth.
Well, and then we got on the line with John. See, Mark, your story was kind of like about the numbers and how they've changed over not just the last
right.
25 years, but over a couple hundred years, basically.
Right, going from 94% of the world population being in extreme poverty in 1820 to 1990, 35% being in, and then, in 2015, only 10%.
Right, and then John in Texas, who is still on the line with us, watching us on YouTube. He came in with this question about colonialism, and I wasn't sure if you had mentioned colonialism during your story. I don't think you did.
You won't find me making a defense of colonialism, generally.
Right, right, because, you know, we're libertarians, so we're against the idea of forcing your way of life on another person. But, John, you brought that, you know, issue up of colonialism, and I'm not really sure what your statement was. Could you kind of recap that for me, John?
I was basically just saying, like, the whole mindset of saying that, like, they're poor because of the way they choose to live and by the Western society or whoever it may be providing them with these services and more convenient living situations is supposedly better for them. And if you, are paying attention to modern day, you know, problems and just, like, the way the world is now, there's a lot of environmental and like social economical things that are going on because of like the system that we're trying to say is beneficial for other people. And when we have no right to go into, you know, the jungles are being cut down still and they're using those for farms and they're saying, hey, this is better for everybody if we cut down the jungle.
Let me see if I can clarify, because I think I'm starting to grasp your claim, John. I have a question real quick. Can there be an objective definition of extreme poverty?
Can you simplify that a little bit for me?
Sure. According to the article, extreme poverty are those people living on less than roughly $2 a day.
I mean, so, you're talking about money. That money, like our whole money system is all
right.
Like we owe so much money. And before America was even started, you know, we owed so much money in debt to other countries.
Hold on. I don't owe any country or anybody for that matter any amount of money. I am not in debt. How did you end up owing these other countries money?
You're saying that the U.
Well, I'm saying even the people in the jungle, right? Can you say that they're in extreme poverty?
Wait, I want to answer your first. I want to answer the first question. Are you saying that it's not written in history that the United States was already in debt and owed was before the United States was even established? They already owed.
Well, okay. So there's a difference between the U.S. government and the debt that those people hold versus your own personal debt.
But
you know, I don't accept.
What are you talking about?
I still think we're getting
the United States government may claim you as its serf. That doesn't make it so.
Yeah, so, that's just a fantasy.
But you're saying that, but and then if you
if a bunch of old fools in Washington, right, D.C. want to spend a bunch of money that
they've
stolen.
Let's back this off just a second, because the entire premise is flawed. Andrew Jackson, the ninth president of the United States, I believe his number was number nine, paid off all the debt. It was a zero balance at that point. So, no. None of the debt that was held over from the United States in its creation has come on to today.
But even
the Civil War has.
Even if it was, I don't bear any responsibility for what politicians have decided to do.
I still think that's off track of the point he's trying to make, and I want to...
Sure, so, but no, I want to make it clear that he's wrong about the idea that we are all in debt because of what these politicians are doing.
That's
I don't
point?
Hold any of that debt, that is, or, and I'm not in debt that, because of what Bill Clinton or Bush, George Bush or Barack Obama or Donald Trump have done. I have no responsibility for it. And it doesn't matter if they consider me a citizen or not. It's not my responsibility. I didn't spend it.
So you agree that the things they do, you have no say in what they do?
We don't have any say in what they do.
Yeah,
they're a criminal gang.
What would you be able to do?
It's a criminal enterprise that lets you cast
and
a ballot once
so
every 4 years.
Why are you talking about money? Why are you talking about, like, it's a money system? Hello?
I wasn't trying to talk about the money system. I was the article
you're
had an objective.
That people are less poor now, and you're talking about that because the fact that they're living on $2.
The equivalent of $2 a day.
No, he asked you a question. The question was, can we define extreme poverty? And then you began to get evasive.
Yeah, we can define the extreme poverty, but I don't think defining it with $2 with...
How do you define it?
Okay.
How do you
That's
define
fine.
It? It has
dead
to
kids?
With...
Because I can tell you the infant mortality rate has gone way down in the world.
I'm just trying to get some clarity. Like, if you don't want to use the definition in the article, that's fine. But we have to find a starting point on how we pull people out of poverty. And if we're saying extreme poverty is not $2 a day, how would you define it? And then we can go from there.
I think poverty has to do – we have to take into consideration the land also because you want to talk about helping these other countries, and here in America ourselves, we're like polluting the
land. I don't really care.
Land.
I just want a definition.
You don't care.
No, at this point,
about?
I mean, we can work our way there.
He asked you to define extreme poverty. You don't want to use a dollar value.
I'm telling you, extreme poverty has to do with the land that you're living on. If the land
so is it less than an acre of land?
No doubt it's going to be a lot harder to live on a desert than it would in a lush forest, I suspect. Is that what you're getting at?
I'm saying even the lush forests that were being lived on were being pushed off because it has to do with mineral rights. It goes back to colonialism. People who, where there's good land and there's good stuff, the people who are living there are going to get pushed off and people are actually...
That's a true statement, right? Like,
no.
If poor people have land that is rich in minerals, they are likely to be pushed off. In many cases, if we're talking about the Amazon, for instance, it's not Americans that are pushing it off. Americans may or Westerners may be driving the push because they're willing to pay, but it's not them that are doing it.
Wouldn't they be doing it with the government?
It's armed gangs, basically, that are driving people.
But isn't that the government, an armed gang?
Yeah,
essentially.
It is the government through the gangs with guns.
Right.
And drugs.
Well, here would be my premise. The United States government and every other government on the planet is the most successful armed gang in a given geographic area.
Well,
so
yeah,
I'm not
true, gonna, but...
Okay.
So, okay. I'm going to let you.
I just don't know. I don't know where you're going. What do you want
I'm
me to say
to,
here?
No,
white
I'm
people
to,
are the problem?
No,
if we could just get rid of the white people?
I didn't hear him say anything about race.
Well, he's saying colonialism. It's a buzzword.
I'm saying we haven't even distinguished what makes somebody poor or rich or not, because I said it's
I know.
To do with money.
That's why I'm frustrated.
Well, so change it for money. If you're going to define it as land.
I'm saying the fact that right when I started saying one of the key factors of what makes somebody rich or not is the land that they live on, he started going off onto all of that.
Okay, well let's backtrack then and go there then. So what makes someone impoverished is the quality of the land that they live on.
Yeah, and when people are being pushed off of their own lands, what can you do about it?
Okay, well that's an entirely different question than the colonialism question.
Because you're talking about getting people out of poverty, and I'm saying, yo, you're giving them money and giving them these toys isn't what they want. They want their freedom, they want their culture, they want to live where they
have. Yeah, people should be able to absolutely have land and not be forced off of their
land. Property rights are the fundamental, aspect of freedom. If you don't have property rights, you don't have freedom.
John, thanks for the call. We can continue to discuss property and, you know.
Now that we got some common ground.
If poor people could actually be, you know, and anybody, let alone poor, but anybody, if they could not be pushed from their own land by governments, that would be amazing. More coming up here. Free Talk Live.
You love Bitcoin. It's the future, right? Well, no, not if everyone stops using it. I mean, think about it. How many places in your town take Bitcoin? One? None? Let's be real. If this Bitcoin thing is ever going to happen, it's going to need your help. The good news is, the guys at AnyPay have your back. We built a website called HelpMeTakeBitcoin.com, and it's a place you can send any business, and they'll be set up to take Bitcoin in 5 minutes. HelpMeTakeBitcoin.com.
Bitcoin.com is delighted to announce their latest partnership with the gift card specialists at eGifter. With many of the world's leading brands on their roster, it is now easier than ever to get the gift cards of your favorite brands with Bitcoin Cash. To get started, just follow these simple steps. Visit giftcards.bitcoin.com, pick the gift card you want, follow the instructions on your screen, and make your payment using your Bitcoin Cash wallet. Sit tight and your gift card will be delivered to you as soon as it's ready. That's giftcards.bitcoin.com.
There are basically two types of advertising, direct response and branding. Radio's great for direct response with its low cost-to-listener ratio, but audio can't be beat for branding, which is a longer-term endeavor. You want to be the first thing that someone thinks of when they think about your product or service. If you have a local business that you want kept top of mind in your community, call the station. If you need national reach, Free Talk Live's got around 200 radio stations, millions of monthly listening sessions, can suit all budgets, and if we don't think we're right for you, we'll tell you. Email me, mark@freetalklive.com.
Are you a cryptocurrency advocate? The Crypto Tip is the ideal outreach tool to help new people discover cryptocurrency. It's a printable business card size tip that you can give to service providers, preferably in addition to a good cash tip. When the server scans the QR code, it'll bring up an explanation of cryptocurrency, how to install a wallet, and allow them to claim the tip. If they don't claim the crypto, you get your tip refunded to you after a time period you specify. Plus, if they do claim the tip, you get an email alert. Create as many tips as you want at cryptotip.org. That's cryptotip.org.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
If you owe money to the IRS, you need to hear this. The IRS is cracking down on those who owe back taxes. It starts with a devastating letter, and if you don't act immediately, you could find yourself having your wages garnished or have a lien placed on your property. But there's a solution. Tax 10,000 can help. Avoid enforced compliance, where these holds on your income and seizure of your home could become a nightmare that just won't end. Call 800-239-9957 now and speak to one of our experts. 800-239-9957 is the number to link you directly to a tax resolution specialist who will negotiate with the IRS on your behalf. Working through the IRS Fresh Start program, all the forms will be handled for you. All you have to do is make the toll-free call. 800-239-9957. Find out if you qualify and possibly save yourself thousands of dollars, not to mention a lot of headaches. It could be the best call you've made today. That number again, 800-239-9957. The service does not provide tax settlement or legal services. We will refer you to a company that does provide such services. Often the IRS will not agree to any reduction in the amount owed. Not all taxpayers who owe more than $10,000 will qualify for a tax reduction program.
Do you feel like many of us? All the distractions in the world taking our minds and focus off what really needs to get done day to day? Well, Jeunesse has a dietary supplement called Mind to help with mental distraction, and it supports memory function. Go to GCNLife.com now to check it out. You're only at your best when your mind is at its best. Go to GCNLife.com or call toll free 844-443-6637. That's GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
This is Free Talk Live. Call in toll free 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-FREE.
Yeah. It's Free Talk Live. You're invited here if you want to join us on the radio. You can do that. Our toll-free number is 855-450-FREE, like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. And if you are an individual who rejects the initiation of force and agrees to abide by the ethics of the non-aggression principle, then you qualify to use liberty.menu. It is a tool for the Liberty community. At its core, it's a directory for events, businesses, and digital content creators. So whatever it is that you do, if you would like to easily share that thing that you do, or more than one thing, you can put up as many items on the site as you want. It's basically a directory that's kind of a map-based thing, so you can look at it as well as browse it. And if you want more people to know about what you do, again, whether it's your business or your favorite event or whatever, just put it up on liberty.menu. It's free to do that, so why not? Do you not want free publicity?
I finally got my wife to put her business on there.
Excellent. Liberty.menu. It just costs whatever time it takes to fill out the form and, you know, upload a picture or whatever.
It's the yellow pages for the libertarian movement.
Basically, yep. Except yellow pages cost a lot to advertise in, and this is free. So, liberty.menu. As we continue here, we go to... Actually, before we go back to your calls and thoughts, any further comments? Because, I mean, there was a lot more we could have done with John, but we have other people who we want to get on the air, so, you know, we had to end that call there. I suspect that, you know, we could have continued to have this conversation with his concern about colonialism, which I think we're all legitimately concerned with, having being thrown off of our property, regardless of whether it's the colonialists or, you know, just your local government doing it. Anytime you don't have the right to do what you want with your land, if there's some other goon that can come in with a gun or a gang of people and tell you what to do and or throw you off that property, it's hard to get, put roots down. It's hard to create wealth if you never know where you can stand, you know?
It's as if he was equating colonialism and capitalism as the driver of...
The same thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I don't see that. I see colonialism as being taken care of, not having been taken care of. That's a different tense. It is being taken care of in the sense that there's less colonialism than there going on today than there was previously, and it's certainly less overt when it is. Obviously, there's some situations, lending organizations, international lending organizations, which seem to want to enslave entire governments, but they are taking the money, which is unwise. He was also saying something like, that colonialism is basically saying colonialism was responsible for the taking of people's land. And I would say that, no, that's government. But, let me back that statement up. So, for instance, there's a list of 10 countries. You tell me which ones you think have property rights. But these 10 countries were never colonialized. Well, okay, greater and lesser property rights. Okay. How's that?
The illusion of property rights, like we have here in the U.S., is that what you're considering property rights?
To some extent,
Where you can transfer and hold titles to land that ultimately, if the government decides they want to take from you, then they pretty much can?
Yeah.
Okay, gotcha.
All right, Saudi Arabia.
Property rights. I'm going to say they have it.
You're going to say they have it? Most of their citizenry is poor, but doesn't have to work because they get some kind of stipend. So they're like on welfare, basically.
Mm.
From the oil.
I don't think they really have property rights there particularly well.
Okay.
Iran.
I'm going to say no.
It doesn't seem like... seems like they have a very tyrannical government. Things didn't go very well. Remember, these are countries that never experienced Western colonialism.
Mm-hmm.
Japan.
Yes.
Yeah, seems pretty Western country. Korea.
Yes. South Korea.
Oh, half of it.
Right.
The other half, a terrible tyrannical government where basically you own nothing? All
basically,
right.
Yeah.
Okay. Thailand.
And your incredible poverty in North Korea compared
I'm
to
I'm going to say
South
yes
Korea.
To Thailand.
I don't know. I just can't really answer at all. That's the king
okay,
of science.
So you're just asking us. You don't even have the answers.
Well, I'm agreeing or disagreeing, right? China?
More so now than
more
previous.
More so now? Yeah, but previously,
I would say, yeah,
pretty
a lot of
place.
Rule.
I was told when I was a kid, eat your food, they're starving kids in China.
Okay.
So, not doing so hot there. Afghanistan.
The government confiscated the rice.
That's hard to say because there's been three empires roll through it in an attempt to colonialize it in the last a little over 100 years.
See, this is where it gets – I want to pause real quick because this is where it gets difficult. When you talk about China and Afghanistan, to me, I picture a lot of rural area in those countries.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I would say that – farmers on the outskirts in those areas probably have a lot of property rights because they're not being terrorized by a local, like, big city government empire.
A lot of time, farmers just have to give the fruits of their labor in the form of crops to somebody.
Right.
They have to give some kind of vig, you know, just for being allowed to do their thing.
I happen to have a handy chart here from globalpropertyguide.com. This is the Property Rights Index. So we've heard of, you know, Human Freedom Index. We've heard of Economic Freedom Index. This is the Property Rights Index. And I don't know if it has a date on it. Oh, it looks like Heritage Foundation. So they pulled their numbers from Heritage, probably their economic freedom study, but just looked at the property side of it. And for Asia, Thailand ranks in at 51% or 51 points out of a potential 100. So not so great in Thailand.
How about Nepal?
Where does that rank, though? On the globe.
Nepal at 37.
How about Bhutan?
Bhutan, I saw it on the list here.
It's got to be pretty
higher up, number 60.
Really? Okay.
Then you got South Korea at 78, followed by Malaysia at 85, Taiwan at 86, Japan at 89, Hong Kong at 94, and with Singapore at number 1 at 97.
How about Ethiopia? Can you do Africa?
Yeah, I can totally find that. Sure.
That's the top one here that has not been colonialized. So I don't see a relationship, is all I'm saying, between colonialism and property rights. I'm not saying that the caller doesn't have a legitimate point that colonialism is bad. He's right. I just don't think that there's a relationship between colonial empires, place having been a colony, and them either now having or not having property rights. And he claimed that that was the indicator of whether or not somebody was free and or successful or wealthy or whatever. I would say that probably the indicator that most people would come to an agreement on is child mortality rate. And the child mortality rate has plummeted over the last two centuries, which is the time period we're talking about here. Colonialism's bad, but the shrinking of our world, whether it went through colonialism or whatever, because we only have one world. We don't have another subset where if this happened or if this didn't happen or whatever. We only have the world that we have. And in that world, now we've got things like vaccines and people are getting enough food and they're getting medical care and they're surviving beyond childhood. So
can an indigenous population be made better off through forced colonization?
I don't know why I have to answer the question, but I would say that, you know, if you use force, I would say you have done it, gone about the wrong way. You should simply offer people the things that they want to buy and take in exchange something that they have to give. If they don't have anything worth giving, then don't take it. But if the thing that they have to give is labor,
okay,
in a diamond mine,
or the minerals from the land, I think was what the caller was getting at. The indigenous population was getting colonized and their resources being taken from them through the colonization process, and so they were being made worse off.
The only way to stop somebody from trading their minerals that they have from their land for whatever trinkets or life-saving medicine or whatever the Westerners might bring is to stop them. And the only way you can stop them is by using a gun. And we've got lots of banana republics out there. We know what it's like when a country shuts off trade. It doesn't turn out well.
We got more on the way here. The toll-free number here is 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. By the way, the United States not in the top 10 on internationalpropertyrightsindex.org. We're coming up. This is Free Talk Live.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Now, there is Reveal. Beverly Hills celebrity dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman took nearly a decade to develop Reveal from natural botanicals to return to a full body head of hair. Reveal for men and women with a 30-day money-back guarantee at GCNLife.com or toll free 844-443-6637. 844-443-6637. Reveal at GCNLife.com.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
USA Radio News with Wendy King. Attorney General William Barr's summary of the Mueller report says the investigation didn't find any evidence that the Trump campaign conspired with Russia to influence the 2016 election. In the letter, Barr promises to release more. He says he acknowledges the significant public interest in the report, but it will take him more time because there's information that's confidential. The president could exert executive privilege over parts of it. President Trump had this.
It was just announced. There was no collusion with Russia. The most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. There was no collusion with Russia. There was no obstruction and none whatsoever. And it was a complete and total exoneration.
This is USA Radio News.
There's no question you need omega-3s. But which form should you take? Fish oil or krill oil? Scientists have debated this for years. Luckily, there's a new solution to satisfy everyone. It's called Krill Omega 50 Plus. It combines ultra-pure fish oil and joint-soothing krill oil together in just one tiny pill. It's so powerful, it can promote the health of your heart and your arteries. And if that wasn't enough, it can also boost your joint comfort in just days. We're so sure Krill Omega 50 Plus will work for you. We'll even send you a free bottle to put to the test. The debate is over. It's not fish oil or krill oil. It's both. And now it's free. Just pay $4.95 for shipping and claim your free bottle. Call now. 1-800-399-6392. 1-800-399-6392. That's 1-800-399-6392.
Warning, if you're drowning in debt you can't afford, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to pay it all back, because you don't. What the credit card companies don't want you to know is that there's actually a way to get debt-free without paying off your entire debt or going bankrupt. If you have $5,000 or more in credit card debt, you now have the right to let us settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe. For free information, call Credit Associates now. 1-800-959-5759. We'll even show you how much money you could save. If you can't afford to pay off all your debt, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to. Call Credit Associates now for free information on how to get debt-free faster than you ever thought possible without debt consolidation or bankruptcy. We depend on your success and offer a guarantee, so there's no risk. For free information, call now. 1-800-959-5759. That's 1-800-959-5759. 1-800-959-5759.
You're listening to Free Talk Live. Call in toll-free at 855-453. That's 855-453.
Free Talk Live. You dial toll-free and join us here if you want. Our live Sunday edition continues with me, Ian.
Richie Rich.
And Mark.
Don't forget, you can check out more of Richie Rich on his own podcast that he does. It's called The Anarchist Experience.
Anarchistexperience.com.
And it's a weekly show.
Yep. About an hour a week, and my co-host is back.
Excellent.
From his adventures.
So you guys are going to be doing that, what, you said Saturdays?
We record it on Saturdays.
When does it get released?
I usually get it uploaded and put out there Sunday mornings.
AnarchistExperience.com, which means you get a double dose of Richie if you listen to the latest episode of Anarchist Experience on Sunday and then tune in to Free Talk Live. So we continue here. Let's go to your calls and thoughts because, I mean, we can share more from the International Property Rights Index, which is a new index. I don't think we've ever pulled up this index before. So we do love a good international index here on Free Talk Live.
We do.
Let's go to Eric in Georgia. You're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Yes.
Are you calling from county jail?
No.
Okay.
There is a beeping on the line. I don't know if you can hear that.
Beeping. I got a. I was having a, someone try to call me.
Okay. Gotcha.
That was like intro music.
You can call from the county jail as long as you pay for it.
Yeah. Well, sometimes we'll even take a call. But go ahead.
But anyway, yeah, I wanted to talk about universal basic income and why I believe that's this is necessary and how it can fit to libertarian and voluntarist ethics.
Really? I want to hear this. Because normally it would involve tax money or inflating a money supply in order to fund this universal basic income, which generally for our listeners that may not be familiar with the term, is the idea of the government cutting a check every month to absolutely everybody.
Although it doesn't have to be the government. Like, we can separate that.
Sure, and maybe that's what he's going to propose. So I want to hear what you got to say. Go ahead, Eric.
Well, it would. Well, this is an idea. I'm also running on this for the Georgia State House as well.
Which state house? Georgia.
Yeah, by instituting, it'll be funded mainly through lottery. So there's really no other form of revenue I can think of that is. I mean, of course, obviously donate it voluntarily.
Then aren't you just taxing the poor to redistribute to the poor?
Well, wait a second, though. When you're talking about the lottery, currently the lottery, and Georgia has one, is they're taking the revenues and giving it to the schools. How would you propose to – are you just going to take the revenue from the lottery and give it to the schools through tax money and then give the revenue from the lottery to your universal basic income situation? And, I mean, really
– what about the children?
That's just taxes. I mean, you're just going to tax us for the more, you know, there's more taxes for schools now.
Well, that could, I wouldn't have a problem running that aside the current lottery. So there could be two separate lotteries.
So, all right.
Well, he was talking about this would be in voluntarism, so there wouldn't be government schools anyway, right? So are you proposing?
Well, yeah, that would be a good thing.
Are you proposing this universal basic income based on the lottery in a true free market where there's no government coercive entity at all? Is that what you're proposing this as? Or
it could be a transition. It could work just as easily in a stateless society for that, but the same mechanisms. And currently what the lottery goes to, it does go to there are universal preschool programs, and also goes to the Hope Scholarship as well.
If it can already be done in a free society, why not just do it that way under the current structure?
Because you can't can't hold a lotto unless you're the government.
Okay, but you can
open
a casino
for one thing. Yeah. Well, not in Georgia. You can't do that. Well, right now they're talking about it right now of opening that up so that they could have more funding for the Georgia Hope Scholarship. So. But, so I would go for just a separate lottery, though, and we'd actually, and the revenue that it would raise, you could set a part of it aside for the actual prize money that you would win if you win the lottery, and or for multiple individuals, and the rest would have a dividend that would go to for whoever else would sign up for it.
Would the basic income be fixed? And then what if you
made it on entries? It's an interest in how much money the lottery would raise.
Okay.
So, which I would say realistically, in the first year, you might get about six times as much as we raise in the current one, which I'm just speculating this, but I think that is expectation that. What's that?
Why would it be six times more than the lottery is currently doing? We have a lottery. We know what it does. Why would your lottery get six times as much?
With the continuation of the current lottery, because he proposed a second lottery.
With competition of the current lottery.
Yeah, and look, this one gives it more of a guarantee, because with lottery, a lot of people actually be very wise, and I would say they're very correct, of not playing it, because the odds of them winning are astronomically very low. And but with this one, you would actually get would get money back from that. Well, you might not win big, but you would still win.
Would you have to play the lottery to get the universal basic income, or was it going to be distributed amongst the whole population? Regardless?
I would say you would probably sign up for it the same way that Alaskans sign up for the oil dividend. So you would just have to sign up for it. It can be something like it's like you have to just have to be a resident of Georgia for about a year, or so.
Sure.
And. Yeah, so that's how you would do that. So essentially do that. But
so people would be choosing to play your lotto, this universal basic income lotto, because the odds would be higher that they could possibly win it, basically?
Well, they would. Well, what's the 100? Well, this one, the higher it gets, I mean, automatically, this existence is a guarantee that they're going to get money back.
He's saying that if they sign up for it, that's sort of like winning.
Mm-hmm.
Well, basically, sorry, the more they pay and the more revenue it generates, the higher amount they're going to get. Like I was saying.
But the lotto is generally funded by poor people, right? Like people who don't understand money tend to be the ones, they don't understand numbers, they tend to be the ones who play the lotto. So aren't you essentially funding a universal income, basic income off the backs of the poor?
Well, this is why I'm actually saying it would actually have more, because there's more of an appeal for, as a mass, for Georgians to go ahead and pay more for that than across the, let's say, the income spectrum as well. That's what I'm saying.
Because they're generous.
You're saying they'd feel better about playing.
Well, because they're getting money back for that. And it's and you have incentive, like, if it gets big enough and it's actually continuous.
Just a dollar. We'll give you a penny.
Well, yeah.
Do you happen to know what the revenue is for the current Georgia lottery?
Well, roughly, I think it's $2 billion. So I would say if it would go up to about, I'm just speculating, if it go back to $12 billion, that would be enough to give, at least starting off with, $1,000 a year.
To each participant.
$1,000 a year. What are you going to do with that?
And that's only if it, hold on, that's if it hits $12
million? $80 a month?
$12 billion. Well, let's say $12 billion. If we give about, we set aside $1 billion for the actual prize money for that, and then the rest of $11 billion would go rest the rest of the 11 million Georgians. So...
I don't know the population of Georgia.
It's 11 million. He's right.
Okay. So 11 million Georgians, $11 million. Yeah, so that's not $1,000 per person.
Well, $11 billion.
$11 billion.
Okay, mistake.
And there's a lot you could do with $1,000 a year.
I'm not convinced that you're going to get $11 billion at this point, bringing a lottery on to compete with the current lottery, and that lottery is going to get six times as much because people can give you a dollar and get back a penny. I am unconvinced that that's going to work.
Yeah, and so you're saying that right now the lotto is bringing in $2 billion. Is that right? $2
billion? Right.
So, and you said hold $1 billion for, so basically one-tenth of, if you hold $1 billion for the prize money, one-tenth of what's currently, or that it would be one-tenth of what your ideal amount would be. So really it'd be more like $100, even if you flip the current lotto to the system you're talking about. If you just kept one lotto, so instead of two lottos, flipping the current lotto to what you're talking about a $100 prize per year per person in Georgia. That's not really worth getting too excited about, right?
Well, something's better than
that. Well, that's like in the case. Yeah, well, that is something, though. And the whole thing about this key thing is it's voluntary. If it's a bad idea, then you're not forced to pay for it.
True. It's kind
I like
of,
that part.
That's yeah, true. That's true. So that's true. And I'll give you that. Eric, thanks for the call tonight. I appreciate it. It's voluntary, but only if you ignore the fact that the government outlaws lotteries. Because then you can't voluntarily start your own competing lottery because they'll send men with guns to your offices and put you in handcuffs. So
Bitcoin.com is delighted to announce their latest partnership with the gift card specialists at eGifter. With many of the world's leading brands on their roster, it is now easier than ever to get the gift cards of your favorite brands with Bitcoin Cash. To get started, just follow these simple steps. Visit giftcards.bitcoin.com, pick the gift card you want, follow the instructions on your screen, and make your payment using your Bitcoin Cash wallet. Sit tight, and your gift card will be delivered to you as soon as it's ready. That's giftcards.bitcoin.com.
There are basically two types of advertising, direct response and branding. Radio's great for direct response with its low cost-to-listener ratio, but audio can't be beat for branding, which is a longer-term endeavor. You want to be the first thing that someone thinks of when they think about your product or service. If you have a local business that you want kept top of mind in your community, call the station. If you need national reach, Free Talk Live's got around 200 radio stations, millions of monthly listening sessions, can suit all budgets, and if we don't think we're right for you, we'll tell you. Email me, mark@freetalklive.com.
Anytime, any place, anywhere, radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
By now you know that wireless technology like cell phones do in fact pose dangers to the health and privacy of everyone. Lockheed Pocket's wide range of products are unmatched in providing the protection you deserve. No scare tactics, just common sense. LockheedPocket.com offers quality American-made options to alleviate and eliminate these invisible dangers. Learn more at LockheedPocket.com or call 888-315-9618. LockheedPocket.com, enhancing health and privacy.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with Reputation Defender. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with Reputation Defender. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771. For your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with Reputation Defender. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771.
Bacon lovers, we ship free. Try our amazing bacon. No refrigeration required. Proprietary value-added packaging provides 10-year shelf life and protects the leanest, thickest, center-cut, fully cooked bacon in America today. Ready to eat right from the pouch or warm and serve. Savory and delicious. Wholesale price for your everyday use. Order today at ReadyToEatBacon.com. ReadyToEatBacon.com.
Now more Free Talk Live. Call in toll-free at 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-FREE.
It's Free Talk Live, the live Sunday edition here. You may take control of the airwaves, bring up whatever is on your mind. Our number is 855-450-FREE.
Call in and talk about what you want and get told that it sucks. That's what has happened tonight here on Free Talk Live.
Well, we're not going to candy coat, we're not going to, you know, sugarcoat our feelings and our thoughts about an idea. I mean, if you want, you know, some if you want some yes men to tell you your idea is great, you're going to have to hire them because that's not our job here.
And I'm available. If you want to hire a yes man.
You want to hire a yes man. All right.
Richie is yes man service.
So if you want to comment.
If you want to advertise your silly idea about colonialism or lotteries or whatever it might be.
We've got 194 radio stations.
Right. MarketFreeTalkLive.com. I'll help you produce an ad, and we won't have anything to say during it. It'll just get played during the show.
No, it won't be an endorsement, though. We'll tell you that.
No, it won't be an endorsement.
Yeah, we'll run your ad, but we're not going to.
I will only endorse projects that I think are a good idea.
Right. So if you want to, you know, if you want an honest assessment of, you know, what we think about something, feel free to call in with it. And, you know, we're not going to be mean. I don't think we're mean about it. Just
I try not to be mean.
Right. We just don't agree. You know.
You're talking, and in the gentleman's case who just called in, you're talking about trying to sell Lotto to people who.
That's what he was talking about.
All of whom. Do not play the lottery, right? Like, I'm of the opinion that the lottery is a tax on people who can't do math,
mm-hmm.
right?
That's what I was saying earlier.
That's what I've been told over and over again. I haven't run the math, but as I understand it, I'll be better off keeping my dollar. I won. I kept my dollar. Or I don't even know if you can get a lottery ticket for a dollar anymore. I have no idea how these things work.
You can.
Yeah. But I was at a restaurant just a couple days ago, and the restaurant owner was telling me how a friend of hers won $100,000 in the scratch-off.
Not bad.
Yeah, well, good.
Not bad.
Good.
Can't win if you don't play.
Yep, there you go. My dad won $5,000.
Yeah, but how much did he pay for tickets for his whole lifetime?
I have no idea.
Because some people buy like 10 tickets a week or whatever,
I don't know, but...
Like, what's the average Lotto player... play? Do they play one ticket or is it 10?
Oh, I can't imagine they one ticket.
Well,
now.
I'm sure when they win too, the general thought process is now you're playing with house money, right? It's not a recouping of what you've spent so far. It's now you have more money to spend
mm-hmm.
because you've won, completely ignoring all the losses that you've incurred over the years.
Right. And when you say lotto, you mean filling in the numbers versus scratchers, which is the, you know, scratch-off lottery. So there's different products that the lottery has. The state, in many cases, keeps the monopoly on running numbers, is what we used to call this back in the day, when people would shoot you over their particular corner of the map.
If you win 100 grand, you've come out ahead. There's no doubt about that. If you win 5 grand, that's at 10 tickets a week. That's 10 years, basically, of playing is what you've won back there in that case.
At that time, the lottery probably wasn't legal for 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
So I would suspect
he came out ahead.
Yeah, well, I'm sure that he lived longer than that, and he probably didn't stop playing.
He kept playing. Yeah, okay. All right, let's continue here. Your calls and thoughts are welcome. We go to the Free Market Penguin. He's on our Discord server. Go ahead.
Hey, guys.
Hey, you're in Virginia.
The gentleman... from Virginia. The guy a few calls ago, maybe two, was talking about colonialism, anti-colonialism, and I definitely hold anti-colonialism is a poor position of my libertarianism. And not like I have my own libertarianism, but, you know, my personal libertarianism.
I think everybody does.
Beliefs.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think you have to credit Murray Rothbard or anybody else. We all come to these ideas with our own moral compass, and whatever the idea is either resonates with us or it doesn't. You keep the parts you like, you throw away the parts you don't.
So I would like to heroes.
Yeah, I would like to make some sense out of that guy's call by just keeping up with the topic. And I definitely think it's an important topic. And basically I think we can understand colonialism is basically the state's, kind of, you know, oppression of us, as far as property is concerned, with the element of, developed countries going to other lands and, co-opting local rulers, which they also have states and, you know, states, as we define them, you know, there, and they certainly set up states that continued the colonialist practices through the modern and post, you know, modern era.
Right. In many cases, and they strengthened the existing state so that it then could be empowered to go and reach out to the far corners of the regions in a given area where the colonialist powers sort of, you know, they sectioned off pieces of the map and said, all right, you get this area, you get that area, and that kind of thing. But in many cases, they left in control the sort of original rulers.
Yeah, drawing borders, making a military, making a bureaucracy, things that they just didn't have because those things hadn't came to that area, to their level of development. But, it strengthened the power of the states and people's ability to operate outside of it. Because, much of the freedom humans have enjoyed has, in my opinion, come from the inability of states to effectively control them, even if they, you know, desired to.
Okay.
But those things, the core thing that occurred there happened in the Western countries too, you know. I mean, there was a lot of land that was owned under different rules of property and occupancy and stuff like that in more agrarian societies, and there was a lot of collectively owned, you know, pasture and stuff like that in the agrarian societies. And when I think we can agree that it's good to demarcate land and have individual ownership or individual, you know, use of land, whether you whatever you think about your specific idea of libertarian property rights. But what occurred in the Western countries and then occurred in a really egregious fashion in the colonialized nations is that property ended up in the hands of those that were colluding with the state due to corruption. So people that were on the land were often pushed off the land, and that's just a fact. But
could you say that wasn't true colonialism then?
So colonialism is just that, but with the element of somebody coming in to country to, you know, from far away to impose that from a distance in order.
Why is that worse? Just out of curiosity. I mean, you know, the American,
having something imposed on you from a distance versus locally.
Right. The American Revolution was a war that apparently was fought to get rid of a king in London so that we could have a temporary king in Washington, D.C.
I would agree with you, Mark, that it is not necessarily worse from our perspective. However, from the perspective of somebody who believes in a political system, a local political system, they believe they have a say.
Somebody
in
believes
that
in voting. They're kind of like these people that believe in that believe in the lottery, right? I mean, you know, if you play the lottery, you believe that you don't understand mathematics.
Mm-hmm.
If you believe in voting, you don't understand mathematics. You have never controlled the vote on who the president is in the United States.
I was talking about a local level.
So,
people who have this belief system about democracy, it's our government, we are the government, you know, this mythology that we've busted a zillion times here on Free Talk Live.
Not busted it enough.
For somebody who believes that, well, there's always going to be new people who come across the show, but that for somebody who believes that mentality about, well, it's our system, I'm participating.
It's pervasive in the liberty movement, too.
So they would look more adversely towards somebody who's coming in from the outside and forcing a new system upon them. Even though from our perspective as libertarian types, we see them both as offensive because there's still two systems being forced upon us. I'm answering your question, Mark. From their perspective, it's more objectionable to have a ruler coming in from the outside that they don't see having any kind of influence over, whereas at least they get a vote on the local level and they can yell at that person.
All I'm saying is that for the audience, not for you, for the audience, it doesn't matter where your tyrant is. If your tyrant is in your hometown or your tyrant is 3,000 miles away, it doesn't matter.
Well, easier to topple a tyrant in Concord than it is in D.C.
Well, that's true. And in Keene, you know, we're in Keene, New Hampshire. We know where the city councilors live. I mean, so, you know, I'm not saying that violence should be employed. I'm completely against the use of aggressive force. But at the very least, you could argue that if you can physically reach the ruler, that ruler might be a little less likely to cross certain thresholds.
Keep them in check.
Yeah.
Well, the small minority of people in the colonies that were, you know, that were behind and planned the revolution, they knew what they were planning, and they sold it, and they knew they wanted to found a state. And I'm not saying all their intentions were absolutely horrible. They had some of them had some good ideas, but a lot of them knew very well that they weren't, you know, it was relatively free for the time, but they knew what they were founding, and they even considered making George Washington king.
A president isn't functionally much different than a king was at the time of the English king was at the time of the revolution. He was a chief executive. The president's a chief executive. There is a term limit now, but there wasn't at the time. You had to vote on him every 4 years. Obviously, you don't vote on a king. But I mean, do we have any evidence at this point that a king versus a president really makes you free?
Thank you for the call tonight.
Thank you.
Free Market Penguin.
Thank you, guys.
Appreciate it. We got a whole another hour to go here on this live Sunday edition. If you want to join us on the air, dial in toll free at 855-450-FREE like freedom, or join the Discord server, discord.lrn.fm.
Number one international best-selling author, Matthew David Hurtado's pain was simple. Lyme disease bankrupted him in 2009, watching bankers take everything from his family after building a seven-figure business from his couch. God called him to ministry to teach prosperity based on pain he could not tolerate in others' lives. IRS, creditors, car loans, debt. It's the Babylonian system, and you have to escape it before it's too late. Haven't you ever wanted to wake up from this nightmare? Matthew David's free quick study guide shows you what to do today to build lasting wealth in any economy. His discovery he made? It's all consciousness. Get Matthew's seven-figure quick study guide for clarity, certainty, and a proven strategy to build wealth once and for all. Visit escaperightnow.com. Do it now. It's free. Escaperightnow.com for a prosperous future ahead with peace of mind. Escaperightnow.com.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and slingbows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug-out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but soon you'll need a plan and place to survive.
Forget bunkers. You're not a live underground gopher. You need survivalist camps. The ultimate, fully functional, off-the-grid, mobile survival bug-out house that's well-equipped and custom-built to outlast any other RV or trailer. Bold statement, you bet. See them now at survivalistcamps.com. That's survivalistcamps.com. Trust your family's survival to survivalistcamps.com.